Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Spiritualista.
Hello, my love. It's me, it's Amel, your host, in this new episode in full English of Spiritualista podcast. My guest in this episode is Kevin Westrich. I met him a few months ago when I was in Bali. Kevin is a sound healer at Pyramid of Chi in Ubud. I hope you're gonna enjoy this blessed conversation I had with Kevin. We talked about the power of sound healing, how everything is energy and vibration. Can we say that DMT activation like ayahuasca is a cheat code to consciousness? We talked about how to surrender, how discernment is really, really important in a spiritual journey, and a lot of other stuff. I wish you to have a beautiful moment listening to this episode. Don't forget to put 5 stars on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and I would be so happy to read my first English comments on this platform. Tic Tac, I guess it's the right time for this 74th episode of Spiritualista. This episode is like my little Christmas gift from my heart to yours. Enjoy. I'm so glad to have you, Kevin Westrich, here in Spiritualista podcast. We are actually in the Pyramids of Chi. First time I came here, it was 4 years ago. I did a sound healing session in the pyramids. I received a lot of downloads. Mm-hmm. And I came for the second time last week, and I did a session with you, Kevin. Mm-hmm. And hearing your speech, your talk, your sharing just before the session connect me to a space in me of authenticity. Mm-hmm. And it really touches my soul. And I say to myself, oh my God, I want to have a conversation with this man because you have a lot to share. So that's why I contact you and I talk to you just after the session. So can you please introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Kevin Westrich, and I'm also known in the Cherokee Nation as Joseph White Owl. Just a brief history of who I am. Grew up very spiritual, very religious, and then sort of put that away for a number of years and did what most people do. Go to school, go to college, you know, get a master's and all of those things. And they were all very important. And back in 1996 is when I first had my, what you might want to refer to as my awakening. Yeah. And it was when I was in the corporate world, managing Fortune 500 companies. And I was doing yoga, meditation, and acupuncture because I wasn't happy. The next $1 million, the next Porsche, whatever it was, began to feel as though it was a yoke around my neck and it was not bringing me joy. So I basically told Spirit that, you know, if I really know what joy and peace is, I would give all of this up. And be careful for what you wish, because everything was taken away from me.
Yes.
But it was really a very powerful beginning, you know, the acupuncture, yoga, and meditation. The acupuncture, I'll start with the meditation. Mm-hmm. After 32 days of really meditating and doing yoga, I entered a peace that was so peaceful that I had never known. And I just simply wanted more. And that was when I was going through this process of losing everything I had, nothing I could do to keep it. And I was going to a friend of mine who was an acupuncturist, and she said, "Kevin, you're going to start feeling things." And I'm of this mindset, you know, I'm on top of the world, I have millions, I have everything I want, I get to do whatever I want. And it was interesting that it was probably 2 weeks into doing the acupuncture, several sessions. And I remember back then, I was on my living room floor, lying in a fetal position, sobbing like a child. I had no idea what was happening to me. But I listened to what she said. She said, "Allow it to happen. You're going to feel." And so I did. And for me, that was the first time I really knew from yoga, from meditation and acupuncture, that there are different worlds that we don't tap into very often in the Western world. So it was really very powerful. And it sort of led me on my journey, leaving the corporate world and going to Sedona, Arizona. And yeah, so many things have happened along my journey, and I don't know how far you want me to go into this. But
Mentioning Sedona, and looking a little bit about your biography, I saw that you live in Sedona, in Hawaii, here in Bali. These different spots are high vibe places. Some say that they are the earth chakra. Do you have this piece of information in your consciousness when you went there?
No. And it's interesting because all of the things that have happened to me, from my near death to archangels, you name it, I never knew they were coming. All I knew was I needed to simply prepare the ground, meaning that inside of me, do whatever felt right to do. And all of those things, whether it was in Sedona, here in Bali, Hawaii, I simply listened to spirit, and oftentimes I didn't listen, and it became very painful. I'll give you a quick example. Coming here to Bali, when I left Sedona, I had no desire to leave Sedona. I was happy, had horses, a beautiful home, you know, a life to die for. But I knew I wasn't happy. There was something going on. And eventually, I kept hearing messages, "Go to Bali, go to Bali." And it's like, okay, another jungle nation or tropical, you know, it's like I've been all over the world. So I kind of ignored it. And I was out riding my horses with a friend of mine, and one day, and a very strange fluke accident happened. And this is what I have learned over the years, that when I don't take action on what I really know intuitively and what I'm hearing internally, something usually happens that I can't refuse it. So my horse fell on me. And literally, I was in severe pain, broken right side of my body, brain trauma. My horse literally fell on top of me. And so after about 30 days and 3 or 4 visits to the ER, couldn't get rid of the pain. It was so extreme. And what did I do? I don't resist what comes to me. I ask it, what does it want? Why is this here? Why did this happen? And in that moment of this pain lying in my bed, I literally got this very clear message. Go to Bali. It's like, okay. And as soon as I said yes, my house sold, my horses sold, people came to me. I didn't even have to advertise.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I get directed to different places. And one of the things I know is, like, coming here to Bali, all sorts of mystical and magical things happened from the moment I stepped on this land. So for me in the past, it was always, I got the message, but I didn't often listen to it and take action. Where now, when I get those messages, I take action. And I'll leave it with this thought, that the only thing that I listen to is my heart.
Yes.
If it feels right, I don't question it, I just do it.
Yes, it's a very interesting point, because most of the time when we have message from our intuition, it's not from the brain, so it's not from the structure, the programmation we have. It's the direct opposite.
Yeah.
So to allow ourselves to go in the other direction, it's really hard for the ego, for the security we have and everything. How can we do that the gentle way?
Yeah, that's my path, is I now ask for it with ease and grace.
So important.
You know, for most of us, and I've worked with hundreds, if not thousands, of people, helping them with that very thing. How do I leave the world I've been in that I know to enter into this other state of consciousness? And I don't want to say one is better than the other, because each one has its beauty. That's why we're here, is the duality. But what I share with people is a couple of things, is slow down. Do yoga, do breath work, do something, listen to beautiful music, and allow yourself to go into this deep state of relaxation. It doesn't have to be this difficult, I've got to do all these things and I've got to figure this out. It's more of an accepting, doing what's in front of you to do. Oftentimes I share with people, it could be a word, a color, or a phrase. It's that simple. That calls you in, you feel it for some reason, but you don't know why. Just go towards it. What is it asking you? What is it? And ultimately, I believe that is our connection to what I refer to as, oftentimes people use the word God, I use source. They're all interchangeable. It's the same thing. You know, oftentimes we make it so big and we think that we have to hurry up. No, we don't. We have to slow down.
Yes.
And that allows us to really enter into this new state of being. I remember a doctor who came out of one of the sound healings before he went in with his wife. She's kind of spiritual and on this path. And he just kind of, well, this is all kind of hoo-ha. I said, it's okay. And he comes out at the sound healing and he looks at me and he says, I don't know what happened, but something happened to me. And I said, good, what is it? And he says, I now feel this calling to help my wife. I'm leaving the traditional medical industry. Because he says he had that moment, that it was this shift that he just opened and allowed him to see something different. And from that moment on, I said, what you are, in the way I see it, is you are the bridge, okay, from those who are in the 3D world to where we're going. Okay, we need those people who have the credentials, who have the education, or just have that experience, that those people who are afraid, you can help them across.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's very powerful.
Do you sometimes, Kevin, see yourself like a big antenna on Earth? Because sometimes I have this image of we are like little needles, you know, we were talking about acupuncture.
Yeah.
We are like little needles in the big body of the Earth.
Yeah.
And there's a big intelligence who just put us in different places and we move and we stay. And we are here to heal the big body of Earth. Do you sometimes see yourself like that?
Absolutely. As we shared before, For me, I refer to those people as, like you said, acupuncture's needles on the surface of Mother Earth, that we are being called to be in different places and locations to hold this energy. Okay. I call them sometimes disciples. It's, you know, could be light workers. There's many different words that I use based on who I'm talking to. And yeah, it is really that. And the other thing is, we often use the word, we need to heal. In our 3D world, or 2D, you know, three-dimensional world, we have this duality. And it is part of our journey that we use the word heal. Eventually, we're going to come to a place of knowing nothing had to be healed.
Yes.
We just simply had to see it as a teacher, as a lesson. And I ultimately believe that every lesson takes us into this journey of seeing love from a different perspective.
Yeah.
So yeah, very much so. So if you feel called to be in another part of the world, I hear it all the time in Bali, I heard it all the time in Sedona, I've been called here, I don't know why. I said, don't worry, it'll be revealed to you.
Yes.
Just be present. It's all that's necessary.
Exactly. And do you think that's the awakening to open our consciousness? Do we need to do a little work to open the consciousness, or it's happened at one moment in your life, this glimpse of light in you and everything have a new color? Yeah. How does it happen?
Well, based on my experience and what I have seen and what I have experienced personally, there are two ways. One is by a divine moment of grace that just takes whatever it is away that needs to be taken or to be given. So nothing you have to do. The other is, which is what the norm is.
This is something, I guess. Somebody is passing.
But the other way is that we have to undo it. We have to go back through, whether you call it trauma, things that needs to be healed. Most of this is perceptual. Most of this is experiential from what we learn from those who are close to us. We learn that trauma, that pain.
Yeah.
Okay, we took it on
yes.
as ours. Mm. Really isn't, but mm. was part of our journey. And what I mean by working through it, it means we can go to people, we can go to breathwork classes, we can go to therapists, we can go to many different modalities that helps us to see those patterns of behavior, those belief systems that we took on to be the ultimate truth.
Yeah.
And as we undo these things, we come into a state of new consciousness that, oh my goodness, this really was something that is helping me enter into this state of being in a deeper way. So we don't then view these things that have happened to us as life debilitating. It takes all of our life away. We'll never get out of it. But yet, it asks us to open to something deeper.
Yeah. Most of the time when I talk with people about consciousness and the phenomenon of awakening, self-realization, everything,
mm-hmm.
what happened most of the time at the beginning of the process is that... the person feels that something is changing inside of her, but it's changing inside, but not in the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they don't have the courage to do their coming out
mm-hmm.
to the other person. Like, I feel a new light on me. I'm changing. My behaviors are changing. My sensitivity is changing. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
And how can they handle this moment to accept the change and to shine?
A couple of really simple things is, one, it would be a question to ask yourself when you're in that state of flux, what can I do that's most loving?
Yeah.
Is the simple question. What can I do in this moment that's most loving for me?
Mm.
And oftentimes, when people ask that question, you'll get a message. It could be take a bath, go for a walk, do a meditation. It could be many things. One simple word, kindness. Be kind to yourself. Because in this process, we oftentimes start bringing these things up and we go into judgment.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the most powerful thing we can do is to enter into that state of kindness.
Mm-hmm.
How can I be kind and gentle through this process?
Yeah.
And like I said, it could be a bath, it could be a walk, it could be anything that speaks to you that kind of takes you into this softer place. And Richard Rudd, who wrote The Gene Keys, said it really beautiful in terms of all of these things that are happening, that it's really, it is stages of softening.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm.
Meeting that which is, you know, that
yeah.
unrest, because that is common when we begin to enter into this state of being.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, we go inward. And it's really simply allowing that to happen and being gentle.
Yeah. Yes, that's beautiful. You know, I really like the approach about the Essenians, the essence.
Mm-hmm.
And what I really like in their vision, it's like it's really minimalist and soft and clear.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that we are traveling between a lot of realms.
Mm-hmm.
You have the crystal realm, vegetal, animal, human,
mm-hmm.
angelic, archangelic, and divine, godly.
Mm-hmm.
And when I hear you talking about this soft and be kind with yourself and the other. I really feel the vibe of this angelic realm. And it's really important because most of the time, I think that we think that people are humans. Mm-hmm. But when you analyze a little bit energetically and emotionally, to be human, it's to be connected to your heart. Mm-hmm. But you realize with this scale of realm that most of the time people are more acting like animals. Mm-hmm. And so how do you handle the fact that you can be surrounded by people who are not connected to their heart, mm-hmm. and you want to spread this kindness and everything, but they don't talk the same language,
yeah.
at all. They don't sure. feel it like love.
Yeah.
They feel it like you are naive or mm-hmm. things like that.
Mm-hmm. You know, the interesting thing about that is some of the people I love most to work with are those who are most anti-spirituality. I don't believe in this. All of these things, because they're usually the ones that have the greatest aha moment.
Oh, yeah.
Really big. Okay, most of the people. The way I see it and the way I viewed it, and I have gone through stages where I would judge them, think that they're just not really getting it. I needed to help them. It was my responsibility. And then it evolved over the years that I then began to see through a different set of eyes that said, they are where they're supposed to be. All I'm to do is hold the space. I believe it's been written in scriptures that Jesus said something to the effect that invite them in. If they're not ready, love them, but knock the dust off your sandals and move on. Mm. Because they are you of that same essence.
Yeah.
They're just not in that place. Mm. It's okay. So that's kind of the way I view people now is, you know, no matter where they are, and one of the gifts that I have, and I thought a gift and a curse, but it's really a gift, is I can sit with someone in a very short period of time and see who they are and where they are. Mm. And the beautiful thing is I used to think that I needed to help them. Mm. That was my ego.
Yes.
And I came to this understanding that, no, I will hold space for them if they're ready and if they come to me. And it's a different synergy that happens. And to me, what I really believe and understand is simply to be that conduit. I'm the vehicle that which that comes through. And the longer we're on this journey, unraveling all of those things that we think we made mistakes or whatever, as they unravel, this other part opens. It's the angelic. Mm-hmm. And it's way beyond that even. But yeah, that's kind of what I've noticed over the years going through all of this. And again, for me, to be gentle with myself as I went through this and allow myself to believe that everything that happened, happened for a purpose,
yes.
for a reason.
It's really interesting. It makes me remember of a quick sequence I saw on the social network. It was a French actor, very famous, mm-hmm. and he meet one of his fans, and the fan say, "Oh, I love you, I really love you." And he just say something very clever and enlightened. He say, "You know what? I'm just a version of you mm-hmm. in the future." And it was mind-blowing. And
yeah.
I think it's going in the sense of what you are actually sharing with us. It's mm-hmm. that these people who are still locked in their head and don't found like the mm-hmm. way to go to their hearts, they are just part of us, but from the past, mm-hmm. from another timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. One of the things I share with people is you cannot see that angelic state or that beautiful state outside of you. Unless it's already in you.
Yeah.
It's already in you.
Yeah.
It's just awakening to that aspect of you mm. is really what this journey is about. And I believe at the, I don't even want to say the end, that the closure of this lifetime, because there's always new beginnings, is that awareness that we are that which we seek. And we become immersed in that understanding. And I'm still learning. I don't know that 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it from a lot of experiences, and I'm still this level of surrender and trust,
mm.
surrender and trust, surrender and trust.
Yes.
So, yeah.
That's perfect. You wrote a book,
mm-hmm.
Trust, Patience, and Surrender.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that surrender mm-hmm. is something really, really important for you in your vision and your sharing. What does surrender mean to you?
It's multifaceted from a male perspective. What I've learned is surrender also requires vulnerability. And for most of us in the Western world, we have been taught that vulnerability is a weakness. It is not. It is one of our greatest strengths that we as humans have once we enter into it. What I mean by that is when we're vulnerable, we don't know the outcome and we don't know the path out of it. So we simply have to open our hearts, our beingness, to see what's there, to become vulnerable. And in that moment, what I have learned over many years of doing this is no matter what I thought or how I believed or perceived it'll be once I enter that, when I actually did the work of surrender and vulnerability, it was always more beautiful than what I could have imagined. And I began to trust that yes, I'll do my work, yes, I'll enter into the next thing I need to do, but there comes a point that you can't force it. You have to just open to it.
Wow. And I think the thing that don't allow ourselves to really surrender is just the part of the ego. The ego don't want mm-hmm. to be in that process at all.
Sure. Yep, the ego and fear are two components.
Yes.
Most of us as human beings, we hate change. We struggle, we fight against it, we don't want to do it. And, you know, with that is accompanied is fear. And two things that I believe now and I live by are two things. That when I feel and sense fear and I'm not in danger, I have to meet it. What does it want? And the other is love. When love is present, I have to meet it. What does it want? So that's kind of my perspective on it now.
Yes. Yeah. I know that in Ayurvedic studies and Chinese medicine, everything is around the nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
It's like everything, they constrict everything around the nervous system. Mm-hmm. And when you go to Europe or in the States or in the Western, you don't really have it like in the center of the mm-hmm. knowledge of wellness and health and everything.
Yeah.
And I think that when you calm your nervous system, naturally you seek, you know, nature, calm, mm-hmm. animals, good food, sun. Mm-hmm. And because I know that, for example, my mom, if I bring her to Bali, she's going to be depressed. You see, well, we're going to do the same thing again. What? No. Because I know that her nervous system, like drama, noise, the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that.
Yeah.
And most of the people on Earth are programmed like that. They have a sick nervous system. Yeah. And they know nothing about that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a question I wanted to tell you. Sometimes we are talking about the comfort zone.
Yeah.
But the comfort zone for most of the people is drama. And
absolutely. We've been taught that.
Yeah.
Our media, our social media, everything that has been created by the powers to be have created an environment and a world that generates that. That's how they control us.
Yes.
That's how that, you know, they can sell the next this or do the next that. And, oh, I got to have this and I got to have that. And you hit the nail right on the head when you said that is our endocrine system, our parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous system. I won't go into the psychology of it or the biology of it, but it's fight or flight.
Yeah.
And if you're in fight and flight all the time and you're in this cycle of, you know, what media is teaching you and what everyone else is kind of reacting, that nervous system for a lot of people goes into overload.
Mm.
Okay. Can be adrenal depletion and a lot of different things. And absolutely correct. Most Western societies base your value based upon what you do.
Yes.
Not because you're here, which is really the truth.
Yeah.
But when you look at this from creator's position or idea, that how do you know cold unless you know hot? We have to have extremes.
Yes.
So that we can understand, so that it gives it a frame of reference.
Mm-hmm.
But as you're mentioning, there are those of us who have transcended and are transcending that belief system, that it no longer works. Not that the old system is terrible and horrible and bad, it helped me to understand. And what I believe is going to happen, and what is in process of happening, is there are those of us who are holding this new thought, this new awareness, and the rest are going to shift, or they're going to stay where they are, keeping in mind that they still are connected to Source.
Yes.
And whenever they're ready to make that choice, it's always available. Mm. So, yeah.
Yes, and Kevin, you mentioned the last time I saw you for the sound healing, that you noticed that the world like really changed this last 3 years, especially mm-hmm. with the kick effect of the COVID circus. And do you, living here in Bali, seeing people every day coming for session, healing mm-hmm. session, there was a shift, really, in the human consciousness?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, here in... what I've seen since COVID, these are designed to wake us up, even though there will be loss as a result of it. In the Native American traditions and understandings and indigenous peoples, we know this is the time of clearing and the time of purification. This has not happened only once. This has happened 4 times before. That's why we refer to this as the fifth world. What happened as a result of COVID was it became very, very quiet here. And actually, even before COVID, the thing that I noticed a lot were the people who were coming were not just coming because this was entertainment or this was just something to do. Mm. There was a very different mindset that they really, truly, in earnest, from their heart, were on this journey. And then COVID happened. And then it became very slow, very quiet for about 1.5 years. And in that time, still the people would come. And then eventually, it started coming in volume again. And they're coming from this state of, oh my God, I was locked down for 1.5 years. And it was miserable. And it made me think, is this the life I really want to live? Being controlled by a handful whose agenda is really not for our best interest, ultimately, if you really look at the facts. Okay? And they're coming here, and they're going everywhere in the world, whether it's Sedona, it's here, many parts of the world, that people are seeking that. You know, this alternative thought, awareness of, this can't be good for us, this old world any longer. Again, we needed it to bring us into this new state of being. So yes, overall, more people are waking up to this state of understanding. Yeah.
It's really interesting, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I wanted to share with you the conversation I had with a Balinese woman I mm-hmm. met. She have a spa and massage place just next to my guest house. Her name is Dewey. I love it because mm-hmm. it means goddess.
Yeah.
And I stayed with her a little bit, and she was doing her rituals, you know, with her little hotel in her place. And she had a picture of a beautiful man, a Western man, but wearing Balinese outfit. And I asked her, who is this man? And she told me about her story. It was her husband. He passed away 10 years ago. And she stayed 6 years with him, and she had a little girl. And I had a lunch with her, and she explained to me that it was really, really hard for her to surrender. Mm. She's from here, so she mm-hmm. believed in the karmic law and everything.
Yeah.
And she told me that it was really difficult for her to have this conversation with her family because you have to let it go.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting for me to have this conversation with her because first time I came here in Bali, it's like I receive a deep healing about my programmation with death.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it healed me about this, totally.
Yeah.
And having this conversation with this woman bring me back to that, like she's from here. Mm-hmm. She had this belief system and she's still so sad.
Yeah. You know, people think that Bali, because people do offerings every day and they're very connected to that sense of ritual. I've really seen many aspects of Bali, the light, the dark, the good, the bad. And it doesn't matter where you are in the world and what we perceive people to be, because it all exists, even within them. Don't get me wrong, the Balinese are very sweet. There's a lot of goodness, there's a lot of prayer. But what I have noticed at times is that it becomes rote, becomes habitual, and they're just doing it without really giving it that sense of energy and love. Okay? And then they eventually return. And I think that was one of the gifts that COVID actually did for them, was they entered back into that state again, this place of going inward, going back to family, going back to the land. So very, very powerful. And so oftentimes we from the Western world, we see other people, other cultures, and we see them through rose-colored glasses. We think, oh, they got it. They understand this.
Yes, that's
they true. Understand a part of it.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's beautiful because once we listen to where we're supposed to be and where we're drawn, we extract the beauty from it. Mm. We participate in it and we get to see it, because a lot of times I see and hear people, oh my God, this is the most wonderful, beautiful place. I've done all of this. Oh, it's yes. And there's also people who, I hate this place. And it's like, so again, it comes back to that notion. How willing are you to reframe your world and open your heart? Okay? Because they say, and I believe this also to be true, that your internal world is simply a reflection of your external world. Okay? So it's really in how we see it and what we're willing to open and surrender to. Because I too have had some extraordinarily beautiful and powerful things that have happened to me here. Yeah. Also in Sedona, also in Chicago. I didn't have to leave home in some sense. But when that calling comes, it's so there, I know that's where I'm supposed to go.
Yes.
That's trust, and that's trusting our intuition and our connection, which I believe, to our soul, which is connected to Source.
Mm. Really interesting, yes. I really love the Dr. David Hawkins and his book, Power versus Force, is one of my high vibe book. I love it. Mm-hmm. I take a lot of my knowledge. In fact, when I read this book for the first time, it was like a missing piece my consciousness need to have like a whole picture on a topic. And I realized I always work with the emotion scale, the consciousness scale, with shame, culpability, sadness and everything, and enlightenment on the top. And I realized these few months that what is the most important is neutrality. It's to find this balance between your shadows, your emotion in low vibration, and this part of you is like, so wow. Do you agree with that you always have to be in a sort of balanced neutrality?
Yes and no. I actually sat with Dr. Hawkins in his house many times with he and his wife.
Oh, really?
And I knew him, before his passing.
Really?
Yeah. And a sense of neutrality. The way I view it now is that while we're on this journey, I view it as a stepladder, our set of steps.
Yes.
Okay. That we will have those spiritual, those aha moments, those moments that brings us into this state of expanded consciousness.
Yes.
But there always must be a time that we allow that to integrate. Mm. Okay? That's really the stair that is actually, it's the horizontal surface.
Yes.
We have to, because if we're continually on this trajectory upward into the spiritual, it's just too much.
Mm.
We can't handle it. And it can actually destroy us. Okay, on some levels.
Yes.
So it's really, as you're mentioning, it's we'll have those moments, we'll have those really enriching understandings that we didn't have before. Those aha moments, and they're profound. Yet we have to rest in it. Let it integrate. Let it become a part of us. Because oftentimes I see people on this journey, oh, I had this beautiful moment, I want the next one. That's the ego. It's like, really? What did you do with this one?
Yeah.
Well, I don't really remember all. Well, okay, stop for a moment. What did it bring you? What was the lesson? What was the understanding? Breathe that in. Make it a part of you. Because I promise you, the next aha moment, the next spiritual expansiveness is coming.
Yeah.
It is our innate human spiritual right. It's who we are.
Yes. And you have sometimes, you know, this perception of you're like going backwards.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're, oh, I think I have thought that I had cut this link with this person. I have integrated and healed this emotion and everything. And you're like, you're back on it again. How can you explain this effect?
That's very easy. One step forward, two steps back. This is the dance we do. See, because oftentimes when we get that moment of understanding, it isn't fully integrated yet. Okay? And then what happens is we enter into that pattern of behavior again, once more, but in a less powerful way. Okay? So it's this sense that, are we learning? Are we expanding? Yes. But again, oftentimes we're in a hurry. And it happens all the time. One step forward, two steps back. But what it does is it makes you, it puts you in a place that once again, you look at it in a deeper way. Okay, what is going on here? And the other thing that I've learned on this journey is you don't get it in one fell swoop. Like I said in the beginning, you can through a moment of grace,
yeah,
that it's completely gone. But I don't believe that's why we're here. We're here to undo it so we can see its beauty of why it came.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not uncommon. And then eventually those one step, then it's a half a step backwards, or one step backwards. Then it's, okay, one step forward, half a step backwards. And then all of a sudden it's in it, all of a sudden, and then you're in this moment of what you refer to as neutrality.
Yeah.
This sense of understanding.
Yes.
I get this. I don't have to take two steps back. And that's what I believe when some people refer to as the witness. We then be able to get, we are able to see what's happening. And we then have a choice. Do I want to go back there?
Mm.
Or do I want to continue in this direction?
Yes, it's really interesting. It's like a fractal vision,
yeah,
of the place you lived and where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question about DMT activation, ayahuasca, mm-hmm, and breath work. And I did ayahuasca 2 years ago in, mm-hmm, Peru, in,
sure,
a retreat for 12 days. And I really had this wow moment, big revelation, telepathic conversation with a high consciousness and everything. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'm questioning myself, can we say that it's a kind of cheat code for consciousness?
Is it a cheat code? Well, I view it in a couple of ways based on my own experience. I did a lot of that stuff a long time ago. And I know what it's like to be in that altered chemical state. Okay. I now know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, we don't need it. However, I would never tell someone who comes to me. Well, let me take a step back. People oftentimes come to me asking me, should I do ayahuasca? Should I do Kembo? Should I do this? Should I do that? My first thought is, why are you asking me? Okay, that in and of itself tells you you're not ready. Okay, and what I tell people is, do you really need it? No. But if you are called with every sense of your being to do it, not just out of curiosity because all my friends are doing it, but you really feel from your heart this is part of your journey, there are two things I tell them. Go ahead and do it. But do it in a place that's safe with someone you know and trust or have been referred to, because there are many charlatans out there and you can lose your soul. I won't go into these. It's a whole other conversation. But if you are really called to do it, then do it. Enter into it in the most respectful and loving way that you can. Because as I mentioned, there are those who are willing to take your energy. Okay.
Yeah.
And I have seen people who have struggled and done the work, but they couldn't progress. And they did an ayahuasca or they did some plant medicine. And it opened that doorway. Okay. Now, Again, what do you do with it? How do you integrate it into your own life and what you're now seeing and believing? It's not, oh, how can I go do the next one? It's not that. Let that go.
Yes.
Be with the one that you've had. And if it means to do it again, okay. But what I believe in my heart of heart and in my soul, I've had near death. I've had archangels. I had everything you could ever imagine that we want to experience happen to me. And I now know when it is time, it will come. If I prepare the ground, there's no question in my mind.
Yes, it's really clear. What you just said, it's really aligned. It's like everything is on it. It's like it's perfection. Yeah, thank you. Yes, can we talk about the power of sound healing?
Yeah.
How you discover that? And I know that when you do a session, like I did that many times, you really feel a specific energy, especially when you have a specific intention.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it brings you directly to that place. And it was really funny because last week when I did a session with you, I wanted to work on the balance between my yin and my yang, my feminine and masculine energy.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday I was in a pool where in the middle of the pool you have the big sign, the white and black sign, and I was like swimming, integrating everything.
Yeah.
And yeah, I want to know if, first of all, can you talk about the power of sound healing and how you discover that?
Sure. Power of sound healing. If you really look at it, everything in the universe is sound and vibration.
Mm.
Everything. And especially when you pair that with pyramids, and it doesn't necessarily have to be. But sound healing, like I said, I've been a therapist for quite a number of years. And one of the things that I learned very quickly in terms of doing sound healing was that it can take us inward very quickly and unearth great joy, unearth great trauma. All sorts of things can happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about the endocrine system. The endocrine system, our nervous system, gets activated. Okay. Activated in terms of it can either become very relaxed or it can become very agitated and try and move something, move some energy. Because what I share with people is that oftentimes emotions are going to come up. But emotions are simply energy in motion. It's not who we are. They're here for a reason. So sound healing has a very powerful and profound effect on people. As I mentioned, being a therapist, when I started doing sound healing about 7 years ago, and I've been around it for a long time in Sedona. I mean, we've been doing this stuff for 40 years.
Yes.
I mean, this is nothing new. And for most of us, we were like in this little bubble and people all thought we were nuts. It's like, yeah, okay, we're nuts. But now people are finding out, oh, they're not nuts.
Yes, it's you know, working, so. Yeah.
But sound healing has that ability to go in like a scalpel and really go to the point of what needs to be seen, touched, felt. And one of the things that I share with people during sound healing is if something does come up or if you're in this deep breath work, it's breath also in combination with sound that allows that to move through you. But sound healing of itself, we use gongs, we use bowls, Himalayan bowls, we use crystal bowls, many different instruments to affect the body on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I, as a facilitator, when I play, I say a prayer for the highest good of what anyone and everyone in that room is to feel and to see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I play. And when I play, I don't play in a regimented way. There's a certain movements that I have that I know that just comes through me. But what instruments I play, when I play them, I have no clue. It's a feeling state. And I know when I'm in that field, I can feel it.
Yes.
And if I feel it, I know they can feel it. And again, I ask, just allow me to be the vehicle. That's all. And that's what happens, is there are those who play like they're performing. Great. That's wonderful. That's not the way I play. I play from the heart, from this essence that please take me into this space. And again, is that other wrong? No. But I have come to a space of understanding in how to use sound, vibration, my energy. And I'll share what I mean by that. My energy is the individual doing the sound healing transmits what they're feeling.
Yes.
There's and no
actually,
question.
I'm actually understanding something that happened to me last year. I was in Koh Phangan in Thailand. And one friend said, oh, can we do a sound healing? And I went with him. I did a few sessions here and in Paris too. I found a good place to do sound healing too. And first of all, the guy who came, I wasn't like tuned to him energetically. Mm-hmm. And so I said, okay, let's go. And the place where the sound healing take place, there was like drawing and there was like dark drawings. I don't feel the energy at all. And I was like, okay, let's do it. It sounds, it's gong, I'm gonna feel it. My intention can, you know, create this golden bubble around me. Everything gonna be all right. And you know what? It was horrible. It was a disaster. It was like hell in my ear. I was stressed. It was like it dropped me in hell directly. And so after, it took me a moment to take everything and say, okay, bye, just do your thing. I'm going to wait for you outside. After that, I have to go far away from the place because I was still hearing the sound. And now you explaining that the intention of the person is really important, I get it.
Yeah. See, that taught you something. What did it teach you?
Discernment.
Beautiful. Discernment and to set boundaries. But discernment is key.
Yeah.
And that's how we hone our intuition, because we have been desensitized to it through our modern culture.
Yeah.
Okay. But this is a perfect example of what you just shared in terms of following your intuition, your sense of discernment. And the next time you see and feel that, you know what's going to happen? You're not going to do it.
Yeah.
You're going to say,
from the beginning. From
yes,
the beginning.
Thank
from
you
the
very
drawing,
much.
From the connection with the guy on the drawing, you have 2 points. You're like,
yeah.
Okay, I passed my turn.
Some of the greatest lessons I have learned from the dark.
Yes.
Because we believe that all of this is about light. We always have to be in this state of being. Well, if we're always in the state of light and that high vibration, what the hell are we here for?
Yes, that's true.
Pardon my French. It's not French, but, you know. But that's the whole thing. Some of my greatest lessons, and everyone else who's on this journey, will be from the shadow, okay? From the dark. Because creation said on planet Earth, I give it all, both light and dark.
Yeah.
You choose. I don't judge it. It's either life-giving or it is not life-giving. That's how I view it.
Yes.
And if it's what you experienced, it was a beautiful lesson. But what you know now, that it's not life-giving. It takes from you. And this person may not even know that they're doing that. However, most people do. When they're dealing with that dark energy, they're using it on purpose. There's intention to use it for that. Again, it's a teacher.
Yes.
And does it exist? Yes. I've had enough lessons that I know now that I don't need to participate.
Yes, that's true.
You know, so it was beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, totally. And yeah, the intention you bring when you do your session, I truly felt it. And I think that everybody in the pyramid felt it too. So, yes, and how can we... You know, I had a little training like to be connected to my emotion and the energetic field and everything. And I know that it's not easy for everybody. Because my friend who was with me at this moment stayed and it was okay for him and he enjoyed it. So
yeah.
I don't judge. It's like he didn't like catch the same information I got at this moment. But discernment for me, it's really like the golden key of consciousness. Discernment is really important. And most of the people don't have this. I was working 12 years as a journalist in Paris, and during the COVID circus, I realized that I was surrounded by people who were mentally intelligent, but don't have consciousness.
Yeah. Well, I would stop you there.
Yeah.
Because they do have consciousness. It's not the same consciousness that you have.
Oh, okay.
And see, because then that becomes a sense of judgment. They're not this.
Yes, you're right.
See, the way I view it is like a sphere, like Mother Earth. And let's say that at this moment, this sphere is only so big in diameter and so round in my understanding.
Yeah.
Then there comes a moment that that consciousness expands and becomes larger. And as we do that, oftentimes in the beginning, it's very primal what comes up for us, okay? And it's supposed to be.
Yes.
Because we're dealing with the most primal stuff, the reptilian brain, all of those things that brought us good things, kept us alive, kept us safe. However, as we expand in consciousness, it's sort of that sphere starts to expand. It's like the universes. The universes aren't stopping. Science has totally figured out that it's absolute expansion.
Yes.
So as we do that, that's where the beauty is.
Yeah.
And we just enter into that more. And then we release these ideas and beliefs and understandings of anything that is less than us. Because we then come into a place of compassion and love and kindness. Again, we see where they are, and we don't need to participate. And that's often what happens in the Western world, as I mentioned, values us through our intelligence, what we produce, what we do.
Yeah.
Spirit doesn't care.
At all, yes.
It loves it all.
Yes.
And, you know, some people, their life is to be absolutely intellectual to the day they die.
Mm.
And to try and understand from that mental state of being.
Yeah.
That's their process.
Mm.
Some are absolute emotional. That's their process. Some is artistic, creative. But generally, what happened to me was I was very emotional as a youngster, as a young boy. And then I stuffed it for many years. Did the corporate thing, my family, I had trauma in my family where I lost my brother to leukemia and all sorts of things happened. And eventually, again, I saw all of those things as a lesson. Okay. And I needed to be an intellectual at a time. There are other times I needed to be the doer. I also needed times to be artistic. I've learned those things over life. And it's really about how can we find the fullness, okay?
Yes.
And most of us don't know what that means, because I work with, like I said, I've worked with a lot of people. First thing I ask, one of the first things is, what do you find joyful? What do you do that's joyful? And people look at me most time with a stare, just a blank gaze. I don't know.
No.
I don't know. Good. That's where you start.
Yes.
And admitting to oneself, I don't know, is the first step.
Mm.
Because we then open to the unknown.
Yeah. And there's another question when I ask to the people I'm helping, coaching, it's what are your needs?
Yeah.
And I realize that most of the people don't know their needs.
They don't.
So how do you want the universe, God, to provide to you, to your needs, if you don't know them? That's crazy.
Yeah. You know, again, we weren't taught that. You know, as little boys and girls growing up, we're told to stuff our emotions, what we need, push on, achieve this, you know, all of those things. But our needs, and as you're mentioning, it's one of the first things that I work with people. And as I shared in the beginning of the interview, what in this moment can I do that's most loving for me? Use that mantra.
Mm-hmm.
What in this moment of confusion can I do that's most loving for me? Because it is in that confusion begins the process.
Yes, that the chaos magic.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yes.
Confusion is not bad.
No.
Not always.
No.
it takes us into this space of, I don't know.
Yes.
And that's when I always tell people, we go from like this horse with blinders on its eyes, on its side, and they fully open. You go from a very myopic point of view to a very panoramic.
Yes, because from this point, everything is possible.
Yeah.
It's like you can... You can arrive with a new persona, with a new vibe. I'm okay, let's go, let's do it. It was things I was telling to the person who followed me on social media during the COVID circus. I was like, guys, look, the world is upside down. If you want to do something crazy, do it now, because nobody's gonna notice it. Yeah. So, yes. And when you were talking, and it's gonna be the last question, mm-hmm. Kevin, thank you for everything.
Sure.
You were talking about fullness, like mm-hmm. to be an artist, to be a speaker, to be a healer.
Mm-hmm.
It brings me the notion and the vibration of the word authenticity.
Yes.
Do you think that authenticity is the key for self-realization on this plan?
I believe it's one of the steps, absolutely, that we must do. We must, or I shouldn't say must, we are invited to enter into that space, okay? To really start beginning to understand who we are. Because most of us understand ourselves through what we've learned. Mothers, fathers, grandparents, people who were important to us and around us. And we took that on, okay? What we're now in the process of doing is that, I believe, is we are coming into this sense of what fulfills me? What brings me joy?
Yeah.
How do I view the world? And it really is that. It is coming back to our authentic self. That's the words we use today.
Yes.
But in essence, what it is doing is asking us to come back home to Creator, to creation. It's ultimately who we are.
Yes, absolutely.
So, yeah, it's just really a coming back, going, and I oftentimes refer it to as coming home.
Mm.
And it's beautiful, yeah.
And it's also the home.
Yeah, home. Yeah, that's the sound of mother herself.
Yes.
It's everything.
Yes.
It's all vibration. So yeah, we're going home.
Yes.
It's funny because I had a friend of mine in Sedona. He always would poke at this stuff over the years, and he kind of make fun. He goes, I have all these great quotes. There's no place like home. All these things, you know. It's like, oh, okay. That's actually rather catchy, you know.
Yes.
And that's how most of us learn. We learn through comedy.
Yeah.
We learn through ways that doesn't put us in this fight or flight or resistance.
Yes.
We laugh and it's like, oh, wait a minute. There might be something to that.
Absolutely. I think we can say everything with non-violent communication, but with joy.
Yeah.
And to be playful and to be connected to this inner child who just wants to have fun. I think it's really important.
Yeah, and I would leave it with this. That is what I work with people the most, is the inner child.
Mm.
Is once the inner child comes out to play,
yeah.
Oftentimes we as adults think it's us who's going to save the child in us. It's the other way around.
Absolutely. Yes,
yeah.
It's exactly that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kevin Westrich.
Here.
From the Pyramid of Chi, actually, in Bali, in Ubud. Thank you for everything, for the wisdom, for the kindness, for the enlightenment. And it was an honor for me to have you. Spiritualista English edition. Thank you.
Thanks very much for having me. Thank you.
Spiritualista.